Yo, yo, this is Jason Goff from the Full Go Podcast. Me and the crew, we like to entertain you, and we're going to do more of that this football season because the Bears should be more intriguing. There should be more fascination. Justin Fields, is this the make or break year? Is DJ Moore the piece that's going to put them over the top? You can catch us on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, or when we have an emergency podcast when we have breaking news. Make sure you follow the Full Go on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
I so much hate everything about who you are and what you are and where you're going.
We're in a good place, though. That's what you could say that. Well, we're in a better place.
I'm not going to say that. I really thought I was going solo about 5 minutes ago. So I'm trying to get my mindset back around to the fact you're going to be here.
How is it even possible that we're about to talk about cards? We just talk about so many things. I bought a new car this weekend.
What a letdown, by the way. I drove that car yesterday.
What the heck?
I moved around my driveway. Took it for a little spin.
Oh, that's bull crap.
A little spinsky. It's little.
It's not little.
It's little. It's low to the ground. Little.
Not low to. It's a. Okay.
I need a stepladder to get into the Tahoe. That thing, I just hop right in.
Hyundai Santa Fe.
But Hyundai. It's a Hyundai.
It's got all the features. Got that panoramic roof. Honestly, all I wanted was a memory seat.
It's got all the features, and it's going to be dead in 20,000 miles because it's a Hyundai, but it's doing
first
great.
Off, if you look and do your research, you'd know it's not the case. It's actually very.
I'm proud of you. I'm glad you did it and just shut up and did it finally. Oh.
Shut up. I haven't even been
talking about buying a car.
You've talked about it more than I ever.
Years.
Your
wife said yesterday, 2 years you've been talking about this.
I probably wouldn't have even bought one yet if it wasn't for you constantly saying how embarrassed you are to see me in that car.
The little Versa?
Yeah.
Well, you don't put any effort into cleaning it. I had a Versa once.
Oh, I cleaned that thing.
Okay, if we're going to start off like this, let's just talk straight.
Cleaned it like four months ago.
I have no interest in talking if we're going to just start on false pretenses.
Here's
the deal. I hate your family. Let's get to the show. Is that fair?
Why would you say that?
Is that what you want to talk about?
I don't want to talk about that. I would love to talk about how Panini got a win. Panini finally got a win this last week.
Do this quick because I want to do the MLB. I don't want to get into a crazy in-depth legal thing, if that's okay.
That's what's great. We don't have to because Paul Lesko could not join us. However, he did give us a couple of quick notes.
As I messaged Paul, though, I do hate you a little bit now, Paul. That's fair.
I didn't read that part. You said, why would you
hate
him? Why
don't you read the messages?
All right. Let me go ahead and read out loud what
you said. That's basically what it says.
Evening, Paul. Hey, super last minute. Wanted to check in, get you on the pod. With tomorrow, legal, yada, yada, honestly, but totally understand. Well, some pressure. We may have to start hating you, but no real pressure.
Is he getting his housework done? Well, is that what he said it was?
If you read the rest of the notes, there's also like someone in his family like that's really sick and stuff. So that's why he can't come on.
You can't make a 5-minute phone call?
Dear Lord.
Well, I'm just saying, is he like the practicing physician? He can't take a phone call for 5 minutes?
He's just joking,
Paul. The guy wrote a book in the Twitter message. He could have taken a 5-minute phone call shorter than the message he wrote.
He's joking with you. He's a silly goose.
Paul, my hatred of Jesse is spilling onto you. I hate you the slightest amount, Paul. Jesse's a different story, which we're not going to talk about.
Do you ever dislike? Is it only neutral, like, or hate? Would you say there's a
middle? It's almost always like or hate. There's almost no middle ground because I try so hard to have no problems with anybody. And when I do, it is over.
You'd much rather just feel nothing towards a person.
Only in a professional setting. In a personal setting, I have no enemy. I no matter what happens, I try to be friendly. By the way, first dump in 36 hours.
Wow. You want to point out that you're talking about a baby and not yourself or a grown man or something? So
we'll see, yo.
Less weird.
She said he held it until, as predicted, pooped now that you're gone.
This is a sports card podcast. It's a goulash. This is your first episode. They're not always like this. We
Panini do had a massive win. To
deeper subjects. Here we go. Panini finally gets a little win after a number of judicial outcomes. Panini is now going to be able to continue to make WWE cards for the time being. This is the note from Paul Lesko, the hobby's lawyer. He says, for the WWE Panini matter, the WWE filed for a TRO. That's like, what does that actually stand for? Carlos, what does a TRO stand for?
He's a producer of audio. Why would he
Temporary
know?
Restraining order.
Oh, there you go.
Nailed it. So they filed for something that TRO.
You probably have with that mustache.
I'm not going on a tangent. I'm staying focused.
Zing.
Last week, to shut down Panini from making WWE cards, at the hearing last Monday, it appears the judge found there was no irreparable harm in that it appears that the WWE waited way too long to bring their TRO motion.
Is it irreparable?
So, irreparable?
Irreparable. It doesn't matter. Sorry.
Oh, no, I think you're right.
Yeah, I am, but I'm trying to let it go because I'm in real harsh on you today. So, and how freaking fragile you are today. My God.
I haven't even cried today, bro. I'm doing so good.
I
could
tell you were crying before I got here.
I did not. I have not cried at all once in the last weeks.
By the way, here's what I think is wild, by the way. Basically, let me just summarize this real fast.
Well, I mean, there was one more sentence.
Go ahead, please. All done. Take
the the TRO, the restraining order, you have to basically act immediately when you feel like that is something that needs to be applied because
when they break contract,
they have said that they were breaching their contract because they failed to provide both TCG. Apparently there's an agreement that Panini was going to do a TCG with WWE and digital cards. And that was their reasoning for saying, hey, you know, 15 months later, we're now upset that these things haven't happened. Judge says that too late. They can still do whatever they want.
Here's why I think this is interesting. So first of all, this was put in the same vein as the NFL breaking their contract. And people said, oh, the reason is probably because they got rid of upper management. That was the NFL's claim as to why they were able to breach the contract.
Yep.
Not the case here.
Which is, that's totally really interesting.
Separate issue. I do wonder though, those people all left Fanatics months ago. Is it the same situation here? Like, hey, they've been gone for months. That doesn't really apply. You've been still rolling forward and doing things anyways. And there was also a statement, by the way, about the NFL. Did you see this? I sent this to you a while ago.
The one that we were about to go into, the NFLPA thing?
Oh, yes. You're doing that next.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But before anyways, we jumped off
separate issues, though.
It does make me wonder, though, because the NFLPA is doing something similar as far as suing them for breach of contract just for a different reason. I wonder if, since the judge says, you can't do it for that, if they'll come back and say, well, it's also because of this reason, because the top brass left.
It will be interesting. Either, because the judge could say, hey, you know what? Same thing, too much time here. Or, oh, you know, here's a different reason you can. Yeah, interesting to play out. Sorry,
do the PA. So, NFLPA, the case is currently in arbitration, which when that happens, it's really eyes off. We don't really get to see a lot of things like you can in a court case. However, the lawyer for Panini did come out, I think it was Friday, late Friday of last week, saying that they've allegedly ruled that there was not enough facts to support that there was reason for this injunction or this termination.
The cease and desist.
Yep.
Basically, yep.
So it looks like Panini can keep making NFLPA/NFL cards according to the contract. Now, this does not mean that the case is done. Ultimately, there's still going to be back and forth with the arbitration team.
Appeals and all that.
Because it is not in a court, it does happen a little quicker. So I asked, what kind of time frame are we looking at here? He said it's probably going to be somewhere around a year or so. So it looks like at least for the next year, they're probably good to make cards.
Here's the thing, which at that point.
Yeah, why not just finish it out?
It's two months left, right?
Yeah, like, right.
So it does seem, though, win for the hobby. The other news, by the way, I honestly think we should have started with this. The Super Fractor.
Oh, well, yeah, that was the... I thought the Panini getting two wins versus tops.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about this the other day. As of last week's, the last show we did, there were five Super Fractors that have been doubled up. They have two copies made of the same card out of 2023 Bowman Chrome. Well, Fanatics comes out, I believe it was 2 days ago now, and says, no, they were actually 95 all non-autograph Superfractor autos.
Yep.
And they then release a bounty, a buyback program. So if you get the Ethan Salas, the number one guy in the product, you get $75,000. I think it's in Fanatics credit. I don't think it's an actual payout.
Oh,
I
believe does it it's, say credit?
Which by the way, is a huge one. You can buy all the product you want there. That card is not worth more than 10 grand. Like the buyback amounts are so unbelievably.
Oh, I don't know if it is because it says payments will be made via ACH, wire transfer, or PayPal.
Okay, even better. Okay, I misunderstood. Great. Either way, you're probably right then. The amounts are, so they actually have a list. This guy pays this. This one. It's an unbelievable win. If you pull that card is worth nowhere close. Now, the one stipulation is it's the first person to do this. If you and I both pull the same superfractor, the first person to input the information locks it in.
Yep.
It then goes into, it literally changes as it's processing. The second person couldn't go in and get it.
Yep.
Huge win, by the way. I want to address this though.
Are we going with theories now?
Yeah, because here's the thing. The screw up happened. It was horrendous. It's a huge flagship product. It never should have happened like this. In my mind, Fanatics is going above and beyond. Now, the immediate response was, well, this was a marketing ploy. They're going to jack up box prices. Just so you know, if you look on Fanatics this morning still, $319 a hobby box, $399 for HTA. There's been no adjustment in pricing anywhere. The other thing that happened, by the way, because again, we're going this whole, this next rant is just about all the people who no matter what, it's a conspiracy and there's all this terrible misdealings. The other thing is—
Wait, before you say it. I do want to at least point out that they are doing exactly what we mentioned on the show.
Correct.
Exactly what we mentioned on the
show. Maybe Michelle told them.
You had specifically said the thing about the actually paying for a card.
And take one off the market.
Take one off the market. Win. I mentioned the thing about customer service, of getting back and going out of your way to say something. Because this is a big deal in the sense that they at least said something.
Correct.
If they had just done that, I think it would have been at least a little bit of a win.
No, it's a screw up. We're reviewing our process.
Exactly.
They literally went word for word with what we did. Make sure you're addressing the problem. Be transparent. Yep. Review the process. Why has it happened this way?
Yep.
And then go above and beyond for the collector.
So
now again, we are in the world where every time something happens, it is now an unbelievable conspiracy theory and all this crap that comes along with it. I actually unsubscribed from about 7 YouTube stations in the last 3 days.
Good for you. Because there's some that it's just like, it's too much.
No matter what happens. So first the response was, okay, well, that's a great solution here, but what about this?
Yep.
It's a great solution here. There were problems before. There are going to be problems again. When there are issues, we'll be critical of Fanatics. But the same loudmouths who are always critical, I didn't see any praise from any of these people. That irritates me.
Yep.
You can bash anybody you want, and I do all the time. If they do something great, and this is a win, even if you believe it's manipulated and manufactured, which to me is stupid, but fine. I don't care. Box pricing was not affected. Mm-hmm. The chase is no one buying into Bowman Chrome is like, you know what, I'm going to now chase the superfractor for. I don't think that's a real thing. It's a win. They corrected a screw up. It's a win, and we saw them come out and be transparent about an issue. I think that's a massive thing.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I don't care if it was manufactured. If this was a marketing thing, where's the downside for the collector? Because if they're not jacking up pricing,
right,
if they are still continuing to do what they were already doing, I think it's an overall win. And I even texted you, I think, before I started hearing about all the theories. I was like, they should do this on purpose going forward with their boxes. Just set, because you know, they make millions of dollars per release. I mean, I'm sure for something like this, multiple millions for Bowman Chrome. Take a fraction of that money and give it right back to everybody. Just say, hey, there's already, because we've already discussed, are bounties good or bad for the hobby? That's, you know, there's a number of opinions, but I do think the majority think that buybacks overall seem to be a good thing. We are starting to get more and more into like the gambling world of like, hey, you know, now we're just trying to win prizes and stuff. But that's kind of what everyone's been doing the whole time with collecting, unless you are in it only for the love of the player and the sport and the art or whatever. But if you are in it all for the value, then yeah, I think it's a good thing for the hobby. And I think they should continue.
By the way, the box price on Tops is actually down right now, $289 and $365.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
See?
That OneNote did just update, literally just says sold out now too. The other theory was because they announced as well, there's a $200,000 bounty on the Babe Ruth one-of-one superfractor
from David Adams.
There's a
separate bounty from Fanatics.
I'm sorry. So I didn't realize that. So the $200,000 is David Adams. Fanatics came out and said, hey, we're adding $15,000 more if it's pulled on our app this weekend.
Yep.
So of course, the loudmouth, the biggest breaker in the world, has to hit this. It's going to happen this week on Fanatics Live. It's going to be amazing. And it'll happen Sunday night so they can sell this whole weekend. Yeah. Well, it happened Saturday, I believe, on a break room that I've never heard of that is not on Fanatics Live. Yep. In a room of, I think it was 20 people. The other thing that happened this weekend that I thought was funny, I believe it was Hunt Breaks. I think that's the name.
Okay.
Because again, Panini does the same thing. Loaded boxes. They know which ones are going out. What would you say is the case hit in flawless football this year? What is the best, biggest player? It's 2022 rookie class. You know nothing about cards. Pretend you don't. You don't have to pretend that hard. What would be the biggest card you could hit out of flawless from the 2022 rookie class? Please don't screw this up.
A Shield Purdy 101?
Shield, I cannot believe you freaking know that. A Shield Purdy? What does that mean? I just didn't know you'd know the exact brand.
Sure.
Shield, by the way, on Fanatics, they are the same. $399. Price doesn't change. Hunt Breaks pulls the Shield Purdy this weekend. Not Backyard, not somebody on Fanatics Live. Now, is that infinite proof that they don't send load? No.
Oh, you know what they're going to say, though. They heard.
They're gonna throw them off the turn.
We caught on to them, and now they had to change it.
My pledge is this: if I don't respond and like talk with you on a weekly basis, some guys I do. Dan, I still speak to on a weekly basis. Dan the car guy. I'm done with almost every other YouTube. I get so sick of this just false. Like everything's a conspiracy, and then when something is done right, they're doing it to jack up prices. Well, okay, now let's address the fact that 2 days later, that hasn't happened. They're doing it. It'll get pulled on Fanatics Live. That didn't happen. All of these things are great theories, but when they actually come to reality and it doesn't happen, it's just never addressed. Fanatics has still made some decent-sized errors in the past, and they're printing, their QC, all of that. No excusing it. This was by far the biggest mistake they have made as a company. Tops.
Yeah.
The superfractor issue. Not even close. I think they went way above and beyond to fix it. If you cannot give credit to that alone, you can still be critical. If you cannot at least acknowledge this in itself was a huge win, I don't think you're a reasonable person. I have no more time for your bias bullcrap.
You know what I love about you, Mike, is that this situation is a overall... You know, it's a positive thing, right? And the people that you're talking about are very glass half empty type of people. You have a way of like, it still sounds like you're angry and mad, which you are at the people doing things, but it is a still very, you are not a glass half empty type of person. I think it's good for people to know that you are happy that this is happening. I just, the tone does not reflect some of that sometimes. I want people to
I'm
going to
sing praises on Fanatics again real quick because I think this is another story that went largely...
Wait. The Babe Ruth one of one. Before you go in, because you keep jumping, and I do want to talk about that. That is a superfractor, is it not? It's a one of one. That was not one of the double ups.
Correct. We're not on their list.
So I guess my thing is like 90... You said it was 95 cards?
95 superfractors.
95 superfractors. Was that every one of one or no?
No, because there's a superfractor of every card. There's hundreds. Every single prospect has a superfractor version.
Okay. So then, there's no way then it could have been. Okay.
So I don't know how it happened. I have no idea, but it wasn't everyone.
That's an interesting thing then. Okay. I'm sorry. So continue.
I think this has such massive implications in the hobby. And I think this, again, is a story of, they're bringing in these big names. This is only for the hobby elite. The dumbest... people are just excusing this away and trying to impugn Ron Motors on this as well. If you paid attention to social media this week, Chris Costa, who throws the Fenway card show, we've been on the show before.
Yep.
Jason Tatum, and I think Mike Mahan, whatever.
Uh-huh.
They were there for the hobby trade, whatever.
Yes.
Unbelievably massive showing. I looked through all his pictures on social. The freaking place was packed out. Tons of kids, tons of new buyers. All the comments I saw, a bunch of the comments below too. First time we'd even been to a card shop. Didn't know there was a shop here. Haven't bought a pack in years.
Oh, that's
Brady
cool.
Did the same thing with Ruben.
I saw that.
I think that
and
was
Kevin
in
Hart.
And Kevin Hart, the little guy. And Alex Jaimo, by the way, was like emceeing that. She was next to Brady on the microphone, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Same thing. Like so much of the outreach was, hey, didn't even know cards were a thing anymore. The marketing with such a little amount of effort that this weekend had on bringing in new collectors.
Yep.
People talk about, well, how are we going to 10X? How is this thing going to grow? Again, I don't care. I do care. Excuse me.
Sure.
I care that they left out J-Rod and all those guys in 2022 Topps Chrome. Fanatics, you stink for doing that. Miserable mistake. This weekend, you came out with the Super Fractor solution, which I thought was amazing. And you did an event like this, which we have never seen ever. There has never been a marketing effort like this past weekend in the history of cards. I don't think that's overstating it. I really do not.
Yeah.
The reach that Tom Brady and some of these people have.
Yeah.
I'm a little irritated with Costa. Thanks for the freaking invite, buddy.
Would you have flown up there?
For Tatum?
There's no world.
I just think we become so ingrained with we gotta, and I get it too, by the way. It gets more clicks. People want to talk about conspiracies and people like drama. I understand. There's a reason soap operas have been popular for 70 years. Like, people like drama, and that's fine. There's a place for it. But at times we have to step back and say, you know what? Some of this was actually a win this week, regardless of what you think of the company.
I do think that that's where people start giving, you walk a fine line when you talk about sports car investors sometimes, because he's been so polarizing over the years. I personally have never had an issue with Jeff, but it is funny. His, like him or not, his whole thing has always been taking the high road and trying to be positive. I do really appreciate that in a lot of ways, because it does seem like we are so overwhelmed with those kinds of accounts, like you said. Like, maybe it's just us. Maybe it's because of, like, we've had a tendency to follow those accounts.
See, and I just want more balance. I hate both equally.
I think the balance is needed.
I like Jeff as a person, 100%. By the way. He's been very cool with us. I don't like Jeff's always, like, ignoring some of the negativity at times.
Honestly, I don't mind it, because there are ones that are completely negative.
But I hate them, too. That's what I mean. I want some more balanced. And even if it means, guess what? Maybe this podcast will be a little bit lower rated this week, because we're not talking about some crazy made-up fantasy story and some unbelievable conspiracy.
Sure.
But if it's factual and actually adds value. Anyways, I don't even want to. I actually would like to get into a couple card topics after this.
I would love to do that. The Topps Hobby Rib Night, obviously, though, was a success. We'll have to do something like that next year. Hopefully we can join one of them.
Why are you the way you are?
Do you want to talk about, like, any of the grading stuff?
No, I want to get into MLB and some card specific.
All right, please.
Put the thing on the screen, please. I sent you the graphic of the breakdown of the playoffs. It's in your Facebook Messenger. It's the playoff tree. Who is playing whom? Couple big things I will mention.
Okay.
Just from a hobby standpoint, I'm bummed that the Mariners missed it. I wanted to see J-Rod in the playoffs, because I thought this kid's going to go off and just... I just thought that would be a huge hobby win. His hobby value is not affected that much that they missed it. But I thought it would have been amazing if he got in and we get some awesome October moments from J-Rod. I also thought, equally as disappointed, that Ellie didn't get in the NL. Because same thing. Is Ellie an everyday, unbelievable, consistent player? Not yet. Maybe he never will be. Maybe he will. I don't know. But he is as polarizing. When Ellie has a game and he's at the peak of it and everything's clicking, he can do things that nobody else can do. Conversely, he can go 0-5, 3 games in a row. But his peak is just, it's so captivating. I think it's amazing. That's why his card market has responded that way. I wanted to just take a couple of minutes and go through this chart real quick. The postseason picture of teams I'm actually excited about that I think could make some noise and do something, again, just hobby related. So first, only a few of these, by the way.
Okay.
So the Blue Jays are a team to me. The Blue Jays play the Twins, the 6 and the 3 seed. You know what's pathetic, by the way? Carlos, look this up while we're talking if you could. The 6-3 and the 4-5 matchup, is that just a one game play-in? Do you know?
The wild card one? Let's see.
I thought it was just...
I'm sorry. Actually,
see, I thought that was just a one game play-in.
Oh,
either way.
No, it's got Texas Rangers, Rays. No, that's not them.
Let me just keep talking. Carlos can find it. Let me just. The Blue Jays playing the Twins to me. Vlad has had another season where he's gone on some tears with home runs, and that guy is already a hobby darling. That is a guy I would consider taking a flyer on in the short term. If you're like one of these people, hey, I want to get somebody. Get in. They're going to have an explosive playoff, a little run. Fine. That's the good with the Blue Jays, by the way. To me, Vlad is the guy. The downside, they got to play Houston second round. Houston, to me, is coming out of the East. I think Houston's winning the East. The AL, I should say. But I like Vlad. Houston, another weird team, though. Houston, to me, it's very clear the one guy, if you're going to play this game, if I want to buy somebody on the short term, it's Yordan. Another dude who hits home runs in bunches. there's a little bit of a holdback with his hobby love because he's a DH and because of the whole cheating scandal.
Mm-hmm.
But Jordan is a star. Like, he is just, when his bat is on, we've seen him do it in big moments. That guy shows up and is ready to play. Texas is the same thing to me. Texas, you got a young kid there coming back, Josh Jung. Amazing because Adolis Garcia is having a crazy season. Seager, when he's healthy, is amazing. Those guys are past their hobby love at this point. It's just, it's sad to say, but it's true. If Josh Jung can find his swing again in the playoffs, I think that's an interesting and an intriguing guy. Hey, you buy him. He has a big moment or two. I think there's a real opportunity to flip him. Orioles are the next one. Now, again, this wouldn't be a wild card team, but the Orioles to me, those two kids, I mean, Gunnar's winning Rookie of the Year. He's selling through the roof. He's surpassed Adley in just about every category at this point, hobby-wise and sales. I think Gunnar is the guy that I like Adley. Don't get me wrong. Gunnar, to me, though, is a guy who, again, hits in bunches, clutch moments. He had a game-winning home run the other day again. This is the type of guy in October is going to hit one, and people are going to freak out and go nuts. And, hey, it's the first time Baltimore's had this type of a season in how many decades, and they're winning playoff games. And it's like this, we're just going to build this whole narrative, which is true, the young kids in Baltimore. I think Gunner's a guy who could have an amazing postseason pop. Just real quick on the NL, just a couple teams. I don't want to go down the whole list. Arizona, to me, as bummed as I was that the Reds didn't make it, I was equally as excited that Arizona did because Corbin Carroll, it's not close, by the way. Some really, really good rookies in the league this year. Gunner amongst them, Adley, you know, Yoshida and Casas had good years, Michael Harris, name who you want. Corbin Carroll, to me, is a next level player. If you said over the next 10 seasons, how many times is he top five in MVP? I think it's at least half, which doesn't happen a lot. He is such an unbelievable talent. He's stuck in Arizona, which hurts. Markets don't always hold people back. I think it is holding him back quite a bit in terms of hobby value. But the fact that they're playing the Brewers, I think that's a winnable game series for them. I'd love to see Corbin make some noise in the playoffs. They then have the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers have a loaded roster. But I think Corbin Carroll's another guy. And the cool thing about Corbin is, of everybody else we've said, we talked about just briefly, Vlad and Gunner and Josh Jung. When those guys lose, I think there's a drop-off in their pricing in the offseason. Not crazy, but a drop-off. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's much movement negatively for Corbin if and when they get eliminated from the playoffs at any stage. I think people realize he is so good and so undervalued because there's just no hype with him being in Arizona. I think regardless of what you do with him, if you can cash out for a big win, great. If the alternative is, hey, I just have to hold him till next season, I would be as comfortable holding that kid's rookie stock as any rookie we've seen in recent history. He is that good. Two more real quick and I'll be totally done. The Braves are interesting to me. Obviously, everything is Ronald Acuna. It's unbelievable. The season he's having, no question. I think the boat has sailed there on buying him. I think his market is so high right now. It's safe. If you're buying long-term, I don't mind it. It's cool, and there'd be a bump if he wins the playoffs. But he makes me nervous to invest at this point or even to buy to flip or buy to collect, whatever. I would wait. But there's two other guys there who are just so stupid good and just get no hobby love because Ronnie is just cannibalizing that market, as he should. Matt Olson has like 55 home runs. That kid is capable of hitting any time, any game, that kid can hit a home run. He is unbelievable. And he has been very good for years. He's next level this year. And on a big stage now, because he's in Atlanta, number one seed in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
That's a guy I would look at. I would buy Matt Olson before Acuna right now, just because of the entry level you can get with him. The other one's Austin Riley, another dude who I think can perform. Very last one, then I'll be done, because Jesse's done a great job being quiet. Let me just filibuster. James Outman, whatever, for the Dodgers. He is a second-tier rookie this year. He's not the Harris, the Adley, the Gunner, the Corbin, the Volpe. Outman has like 23, 4, 5 home runs. Been playing very good for the Dodgers, who are very capable of winning the World Series. And you can get him at a fraction of the other big rookies in this year's rookie class. That's another guy I just think is interesting. I'm only presenting this not to say, here's the one I would take, here's the one I would... But it's, to me, it's we're at the level of decide what team you think is going to make a run. And that's the person you make a play with. To me, it's James Outman. I like him better than anybody right now because he's cheaper. And I think the Dodgers are winning at least a series, if not going to the World Series. So I like James Outman and I like Gunner. I don't think the Orioles are making the World Series. I think they're going to get beat by the Astros in the ALCS. But I think those are the two guys I can safely buy right now. If they win a series and spike, great. I can sell and make my money. If they don't, I'm okay holding them. Gunnar, because he's so good, he'll be doing it again next year. Ottman, because he's so good and so cheap. Again, I'm comfortable holding. That's it. All I want to say.
I believe the Twins and Blue Jays are going to play 3 games.
Carlos never responded. Notice that.
Well, I guess he could now if he wanted to.
No, yeah, you know, I texted Jesse because I didn't want to interrupt
your soliloquy.
Phone was covered.
But yeah, I think it's a best of 3.
Yep.
Carlos, I take back the insult. I'd like to redirect that to Jesse.
Thank you.
You're
I have a question. Why is this really throws me off when the logo is not obvious. The Minnesota Twins, why is that?
Oh, I don't know. Logo? The TC? No idea.
What is that?
I have no idea.
That's what was throwing me off so bad.
Bunk would know this.
I was like, I'm pretty sure they're playing the Twins, but I don't recognize TC as a team. And that's why I had so much trouble finding that answer. Okay, that was baseball. Obviously, we did not talk
any Twin Cities.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. That's stupid because you have another logo that shows Twin.
I don't know what the Twin Cities are anyway.
Main logo. Don't throw me off like that.
What are the Twin Cities?
Well, one of them's got to be, Minnesota. Does anyone know a name?
Minneapolis, I just said.
No, I mean more than Minnesota, though.
Oh, wait a second.
Or Minneapolis, I mean.
Twin Cities are a special case of two neighboring cities or urban centers that grow into a single.
But what's the two?
Conurbation? What in the name of
that? That's not a city.
It's a word, dum-dum.
Oh.
Why do they call it the Twin Cities? The name Twin Cities comes from the region's two core cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, which border each other and share many of the same political, educational, and cultural institutions. So it's like, say, instead of calling them individually, Twin Cities, just one together.
Just call it conurbation.
You know what the area code is up there?
Conurbation? Is that?
Yeah.
Can we talk any NFL real quick?
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I think
I was wrong about Aiden O'Connell. That kid sucks.
He did not do as hot.
Dude.
Granted, it was one game, but.
Yeah, but you have more pocket awareness than that kid does.
I've
never seen
lot.
Somebody just.
I feel like at this point, I could play just about any position.
Yeah, to left out.
To your. Wait. Uh-huh. What'd you say?
Yeah, thank you. I've never seen somebody be that bad in the pocket. He was brutal to watch. I don't know if they're going to play him again. Mac Jones sucked and got benched, even though Belichick said he didn't get benched. I just didn't see a need to. By the way,
see what Simmons takes on that?
Belichick is such garbage, by the way. I love Bill, greatest coach of all time. You don't get to be a smug, cranky old man when your team sucks. Answer questions. He said the same question to our boy Giardi, too. Same question. Answered all the questions. It was just, I didn't see a need for him to be in the game that way. Well, dude, you just got worst loss of his career, by the way.
Oh, really?
Bill. I think that's what it said.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it was terrible. I watched it. We shut the game off. Your wife and kid were at my house when you were at home playing sick. At one point, Sam looked up and was like, oh, wait, is the Patriot? I think it was Sam or Hannah, one of them. Mm-hmm. Where's the Patriot game? So I changed it. It was so brutal.
It was that ugly. Yeah.
Mac was terrible.
I went back and looked at a few of the highlights. It was ugly. Burrow. What's going on over there?
I am done doubting.
I thought
Joe.
There'd be a kick in at some point of like,
what does that mean?
Hey, they would actually turn around and perform. Oh. Done doubting him. I'm starting to doubt. I didn't think I was doubting before, but at this point,
I think Joe is very good. I really do. He's had a bad start to the season.
What's making you want to turn around? I mean, there's
history.
I know, but I mean, at this point, what are they? Are they 1-4 or 1-3? I mean,
yep.
Yeah.
That beat 24-0 in the second half against the Titans yesterday.
Exactly.
Yep. I understand. I still think at some point they go on a run that team wins 10 games this year. I could be totally wrong, by the way.
They're starting to run out of time to get those 10 games in. Okay. At this point, I will say his value has not dropped like Max did. Like Mac Jones's value went absolutely
in the tank.
It went from, because he had gone like right at the beginning of the season, it was like, it's not about $30 for the PSA 10 of his Prism. The
guys are selling for $10-$15 yesterday.
Like now down to below double digits. We're in the $9 range.
Here's the other thing too. For a split second, Bailey Zappe came in and people were like, here we go. Like I saw immediately Twitter and Facebook, like now Zappe time. Bailey Zappe sucks too. There's a reason
have any real good options.
I thought they signed Matt Corral in the offseason, but he might have gotten cut already. That team, you don't buy any quarterback from New England. however, if you have Mac stuff, I still think there is. See, Bill thinks he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. I actually still, and this is horrible to say, I still think he can be above average at times, which is weird. Matt, I don't have any Mac cards. No, Mac Jones.
Oh, Mac Jones. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Yesterday was terrible. There's no getting around it. They have the most brutal start to the schedule. Their second half schedule is way easier. I wouldn't be shocked if we see that team win a number of games as well.
I'm trying to find anything about Matt Corral. This may be it. Who's the third string quarterback?
I thought he was third string on the Pats still, but maybe not.
Yeah, this one is late. This one showed from April. I'm trying to find something else.
Whatever.
But,
it's fine.
Yeah, because I do wonder at this point, like, do you have any hope in Patriots? I don't know if anybody does, but...
I mean, I don't know, but, like, better than that.
How about the fact that the Jets almost beat the Chiefs?
Tell you what, talk about...
Did you watch any of that?
I watched the entire game. Zach Wilson, was terrible the first two or three drives, and he had an unbelievably horrendous fumble to lose the game, basically.
Yeah.
In between, he was very, very good. There's, again, even in some of the Chiefs defenders said this post-game, gave you flashes of why that kid was a number two pick overall.
But that's my overall issue is, like, I don't think there's obviously a reason why all of these people play professionally as quarterbacks in the NFL at times. It's the ones that play consistent that become the all-time greats. And
but he's never had time to be consistent. He got hurt and he got benched.
But at this point, it's like he still had a few other games to play this year. And it's just, yes, he did okay in that.
He was very good yesterday.
Well, until the...
Yeah, he had fumbled at the end of the game, sure. Yeah.
But the overall point is, I think if you are an investor of Zach Wilson...
Oh, I'm not investing. I'd probably sell. He's up right now.
He is. He is definitely up. I think you would already be selling.
Absolutely.
I don't think that this is the time to be a long-term hold on Zach.
No. But again, if at the end of the season, it was like, hey, the Jets have won a number of... The Jets have the same thing as the Patriots. A brutal start to the season.
Now, did you see that post that Max sent over? It was like, raise your hand if you've won a game since Twitter got sold to Elon Musk. And it's just like a joke of, like, every team, not just in football, baseball, basketball, like everybody, it's like hands go up except Chicago Bears.
Another guy yesterday, Justin Fields looked unbelievable yesterday.
Was October of last year, by the way, people.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Have not won a game.
Another guy, though, this guy doesn't deserve to be in the league. Dump your stuff, whatever. And then you see what he did yesterday, which is kind of what he did last year. Horrendous stretches and then some unbelievable play at times. He's super inconsistent. I'm not saying he's a winning quarterback, but he's another guy you can see why at times people in the hobby think he could be the guy, and that's why his price spikes.
Yep. Well, and his price should actually go up some. Like,
I tell you another guy people started bailing on because it just shows you how stupid and short-sighted some people are. Josh Allen, after week one, it was like, well, you know, never been to a Super Bowl. Now he's getting beat on week one with a team without Aaron Rodgers, gets beat by Zach Wilson. Look at what he's done the last 3 weeks.
He's played very well.
He's amazing. And his pricing has been pretty stagnant because guys are like, hey, he's already expensive. He's not Mahomes.
He's got the highest completion rate this season of any QB.
And he's played very, very well. And he's got
the third highest in QBR.
As he should. He's played very, very well aside from that first game. They just destroyed the Dolphins, who I would have argued are as good as any team in the league, not named the 49ers. They are on a different level to me. I know they played the Cardinals yesterday, but the Cardinals have played tough against everybody and beat the Cowboys last week. Christian McCaffrey is a freak. If he stays healthy, this is going to be a historic season. Say whatever you want about him as a card person.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Purdy looks excellent in the real life, in the real world of football. He looks like an amazing quarterback.
Well, that's why he, in the card world, he's also doing well. Like, yep. I've been following because I've been basically every single week I will just check specifically Brock Purdy. He has gone from the start of the season till now consistently up, but not in like an aggressively unhealthy way where you know there's going to be that crash, that subsequent crash.
A little more balanced.
He is now selling for about 215, 200 to 215 for his Prism PSA 10. But that was up from like about 150 towards the start of the season. Honestly, like that, his card is going in a trajectory where I honestly wouldn't see buying now as a totally bad thing.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I know it's high.
I'll tell you the guy to me that was like, that is slowly gaining some speed and to me might be a very, and I actually do. I have one really nice RPA that I've now just taken. It's just in the hold box. Mm-hmm. Is Lamar Jackson.
Oh,
again, looked amazing yesterday. They're 3-1. They don't have an overly difficult schedule the rest of the way. That's a team that's probably going to win 12 or 13 games.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar, when he is healthy and on, Everybody wants to talk about and use a stupid statement. Well, he's a running back playing quarterback. Look what he did in the pocket yesterday. I know they played the Browns. It doesn't matter. The Browns also have Myles Garrett and a pretty good defensive line. He looked amazing in the pocket yesterday. That division is not that good. That's a guy that's going to win a ton of games this year.
This is his fifth year. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of any really serious injuries that he's had.
He's had some leg injuries, though. I mean, he has some injuries over the years.
But nothing that's put him out for an entire season or like the... No. So it's like...
He missed the playoffs last year, though. But C.J. Stroud's another guy, by the way, for the Texans. Talk about a young kid who looked great yesterday and a couple games in a row now. Looked very good. Again, this kind of goes to the overall thought, even when we were talking about Fanatics and Panini. There is some good. It's not an immediate effect. The market stinks. The economy's garbage right now. Real estate's way down. There's a lot of those things are true. We are also seeing the NFL's having some guys really perform well. And at some point, I do think we'll see that reflect in some of their pricing.
I wouldn't have thought this, but Jalen Hurts, out of the 32, well, technically, I guess 33 quarterbacks on here because it's including some who aren't playing. Where would you say he lands in QBR?
Oh, I have no idea.
Out of all quarterbacks.
I'd say like middle of the pack.
Yeah, he is. Because I think every week I'm comparing him to the Justin Herbert pricing because Herbert, you know, same year, but Herbert's been consistently outperforming price-wise Hurts. But say what you will, Justin Herbert is number six in QBR. I mean, it's not to say that their team's doing all that great, but that's what we're seeing on all these quarterbacks that we're talking about. Just because they're losing or they may not have done great, the Bears haven't won a game since October, but pricing does get reflected when they perform well. And I think that may be really the reason why people are continuing to overprice Herbert or price higher Herbert than Hurts. Because that's always my question is why is that the case?
That's why. He shows elite arm talent at times. And Hurts shows you the ability to win elite at times, but shows you the ability to win even when he's not elite. That's the difference there.
By the numbers, the grading numbers,
yeah, I
think that the reason why we were going to bring that up is just because they're crazy high as far as like how much people are sending in cards.
This didn't break down the CGC number though, which irritated me. The CGC total here includes TCG, which is way more than half their stuff.
Oh, it does. There's a new.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, there's another one. Let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah, because this one shows 1.2 million for PSA, which is down 2% from last month, which is insane. Up 12% year to year. SGC 115,000, which is down 3% month to month. Up 66% year to year. Beckett, by the way, 61,000, down 18% month over month. Down 4% year over year.
Beckett is
what's the CGC real number? Do you have it?
Does beg the question, what are they going to do? The CGC
Beckett,
real
by
number.
By the way, should buy Card Shop Live. Get into live streaming and add a different aspect where you can literally like have your cards graded direct on the spot. Boom. They do something different.
I think they just, just sold them. Graded cards, like you said, was what?
147 total.
47?
But what's the.
So they did.
50?
Oh, crap. Hold up the August one.
Jesse, you
September
large child.
Hang on,
62.
62 in sports. Mm-hmm. So in sports, it's 56. So 91,000 cards in TCG, which here's the thing. That's great. It's up 36% year over year.
Good.
SGC, they only did 10,000, but it's up 123%. I saw some Lorcana cards in SGC holders, and then other people started commenting without, like, this is totally on a different forum, not on the Facebook group. I wasn't even involved. And you saw people just saying they look so much better in the SGC holder. As a sponsor, I'm very happy to hear that. But also, just as someone who invests a lot in SGC cards, that with the fact that they're $9, that the fact that they look really good for certain TCGs, I think they look fine in all TCGs, but even more so in that case, it does set them up to be a really, really good option for sending in cards. And I think that overall helps the hobby because if we're getting kids, younger people to send in their cards, I mean, that's who we want. We want younger people to be in the hobby because as they get older, they have more money. They'll spend it in other places. So
I agree.
Overall benefit.
I think it's actually a pretty good take.
Any other thoughts on the grading numbers other than the fact that there's still tons of people, even more so than this time last year?
Nope.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I think we got to go to new releases then. All right, 2023 Panini Prizm WNBA Basketball.
Nope.
Okay. It comes out this week. $150 if anyone's interested.
I'm not going to rip it. I'm not going to buy it. Yep. We pass on our allocated order.
Here's the thing.
I'm happy that people love WNBA, the people who do. I have not found much success selling to my fan base, to our buyers the past couple of years. So it's the first year I totally passed on it.
So
period.
I just mention it because sometimes I feel like there's some things that come out that certain segments of the hobby will appreciate, and we don't even talk about it. I just wanted to say something. You didn't have to go into it.
I think some will. I don't know. It's weird to me the amount of like noise being made around that release because like a lot of people talked. I say noise. Like it's not like a Bowman Chrome, but like, hey, it's coming. And I'm like, yeah, this comes out every year. A lot of people talk about it, but I always struggle like crazy to really sell any. So I'm like, I just don't think there's that much interest in the card world yet. I don't know. I could be wrong.
And I think it's just a niche thing. Like if you were known to sell that product, then maybe you have a fan base that's going to buy it and it'll sell out quick. But
Bunk buys some for his kid. I'm almost positive I've sold to Jeff before.
2023 Leaf Vivid Football. I included that one. I wasn't sure if you wanted to mention anything
Never heard
about
of
that. I hadn't seen this one before. It does say introduce football fans to one of its newest and popular brands. So Leaf Vivid is another brand of football cards that is coming out. Again, no logos on them, but a lot of autos, it looks like. I don't know. Looking at the cards just at first glance, I think it actually looks kind of cool. For me, at least. It's bright colors, I think, thus the name Vivid. But if you guys check it out, we would love to hear what your thoughts are. Then let's go to 2023 Panini Black Football.
I like black. You know what's funny? Black football to me every year is one of the cheapest products in football, like value wise, and it's actually pretty good.
It's more expensive than Mosaic.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm wrong then.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't know if it's cheap. I don't.
How much
is it? Usually
$375, $400.
$425.
Oh God, never mind.
But I think that's usually it's a little bit more expensive. I thought. $425 comes out as of this Wednesday. There's five cards per box, right? So you're not getting a ton, but obviously you will get one rookie patch auto, one additional auto, one memorabilia card, a base, and a parallel. I think they've really started stepping up some of the art on some of these cards too. I don't know. Maybe it's just me and it's my own personal preference, but
your art was the best art
of all the art.
Of all the art.
Do you like a card's art, a modern card, like a really modern card, more so than something else?
Oh, you know what's funny? One that actually recently stood out to me.
Yeah.
What the heck was? Oh, Prizm Baseball, which super cheap product, not licensed. The manga.
Oh,
yeah. I pulled the Griffey one. I thought it was amazing.
The manga ones are cool. I do like those.
That's one of the newer ones that I actually think is pretty cool. I like the look of Mosaic in general. Not one specific insert pops out to me, but yeah, I like Mosaic. I'm trying to think.
I'm going to skip to a question in the mailbag just because someone brought that up. They said a guy named Joe Martin said that Mosaic hobby box prices have continued to decline since its release.
Which is interesting because the singles on those cards, especially the guys with no autos, have actually done really well.
I was going to say, I was wondering if that was something you'd notice as well. I couldn't really find a big decline. Granted, they're like selling, I think, like $375 a box right now, or $380. But back in August, it was like $380 at one point, and then $390 and $400. And I guess at one time it jumped up to $450. But other than that,
what is it right now?
Like $380, $390 or $375, $380.
I mean, I would buy. It's 20% less than the 15% less than what we're talking about. I'd buy Mosaic all day over black.
Yeah, I don't. He was posing the question if it was just like a lack of love in the hobby, just the hobby being slow right now, or if it was something to do with Panini and the whole football.
I'll say
issues.
That it is slow, no question. Like me and Eddie are both having slow breaks on Facebook, on the app, everywhere. Like It is noticeably slower than it's been in a while. And just in talking to some of the bigger customers, it's, yeah, the resale on singles right now is slow. So we don't have as much money coming back in. And when it does come back, it's not as much as it used to be. And just week to week to week to week of big releases, it's taxing. Like Finest, Topps Chrome, Pristine, Cosmic, Bowman Chrome. Like every week there's been something. This is the first week there's no big baseball release. And even next week, it's small. It's Update, which is, you know, a cheap one a lot of people don't even mess with. I think this is a good little couple week reset for guys. Get the stuff back from those other big products.
Yeah.
Sell it. Get your capital back, your liquid back, and get back in. But breaking's been super slow. Like even in some pretty good rooms that I'm in, bigger break rooms.
Yeah.
It's been a noticeable slowdown. I think it was a good lesson for Fanatics. And I think that's why they responded how they did of like over the next month, they really pushed back and stretched out more.
Stretched out.
Which has to happen. You gotta give people time to recoup.
It does make you wonder though, because we keep hearing that there's so many people coming to these events, like the hobby night that Topps just did, you know, all these new people coming in.
But that's a major disconnect, right? Like you bring your kid for the first time to an event and she rips a pack and she has a great time.
Yes.
Well, how long is it and how many steps are it from that being step one
getting into
to break. I'm buying a team and a PYT? That's a huge jump. You know, Absolutely. It's a good first step.
Absolutely.
And in 3, 4, 5, 6 months, we've gained some of those people.
Yes.
But there's still a huge disconnect with the breaking culture and people just getting back into the market. And still, Fanatics is trying to market it with Fanatics Live. Breaking is still a very difficult world to come in cold out of. Like, if you just get back in the hobby, first question, why wouldn't I want to rip my own box?
Well, especially when people walk in off the street and you're entering a very unregulated world where it's like, oh, I need to give you $100, $50, whatever it is, and I don't know who you are. There's nothing.
Who are you? What am I buying?
Yeah, you've got a website that looks like a kid set up.
Absolutely. There's a lot to it. So it takes time to really build up to. I remember when I first started breaking, it was the same thing. I was like, I guess I'll buy a spot, maybe try. Yeah. It was a difficult level of entry.
I think it's a big trust thing. I think that plays a big factor in it.
100%.
Where some of these breaking, I wonder if Fanatics really pushes that much. Since it's not an Android, hint, hint.
That's fine. Fanatics, I hope they never go on Android.
I can't really test it out myself, but I am curious if there's any kind of like stipulations of, hey, you know, someone cheats you, we'll take care of it or anything like that. To the new person, that's what I'd want. I would want something that lets me know that I'm not going to be taken advantage of. So.
That's fair.
Perfect
segment. Hang on.
Okay.
That's why you break on Card Shop Live.
Card Shop Live,
because you know cards nonsense.
It's related to us, and therefore, we wouldn't want to get ourselves in trouble. Is that it?
I mean, I would. I'd risk it all.
I would send one guy a piece of doo-doo and then just risk it. I don't care. There's a new product it's actually not new in the sense that it came out in 2019. It hasn't been out for the last 4 years. But if you were into any kind of TCG this is not a game, but it is Marvel. So 2023 Upper Deck Marvel Premiere comes out this week.
Is Marvel still in the tank, like price-wise?
Oh, like overall card
the singles, are they still way, way down?
From 1990 Impel?
Whole market was way down.
I don't know. It depends on different segments. Because sometimes like when things first come out, like when some of these releases are coming out, especially when depends on like the set, if there's going to be original art, if there's going to be autographs, all that thing. Sometimes these things go crazy. For instance, in this case, this product is coming out at $650 a box and has 5 cards in it. But you're getting like some really cool original art. It's really limited as well. And overall, if you are at all into Marvel, some of like the more classic art versions of it, you will be into this set. So go check it out if that's something that you're interested in. But overall, the Impel market, that's something I would need to check out. Because I know are you still actively working on
that set?
That's
what I was going to say. I haven't bought one of those cards in forever.
I keep a lookout though forever.
I don't want to buy the cards. What I need to do is just buy a box again. Do you have a box of that?
I've got 2 boxes.
Why don't you sell me one?
If you actually want one, I will.
All right.
I feel like you're about to say something.
No, because I want to buy. Well, that's how I got where I got. I bought it and graded a ton of them. I would do that again to try to work my way up to getting.
I saw a couple the other day, but you're looking for 10s. And
only SGC 10s. SGC 10s. I'm trying to keep it consistent.
But I figured, too, like if I could find one a good deal, even if it was a 10 and like a PSA or something else that it might be worth it.
Oh, I did buy a Charlie Taylor, old school Hall of Famer for the Redskins, for my 2001 Sign of the Times autograph set. I had not found a card in that set that I needed still, the auto set. I think I'm missing like 9 or 10. I hadn't bought a card like that in probably 3 months since I found the John Riggins.
Really?
I finally found the Charlie Taylor, which never comes up. It was $18. It's not even a valuable card, just super tough to get. I crossed that one off the list. I was excited
about.
That's
pretty cool. Yeah.
I would say it's very cool.
I would say pricing has not done a whole lot on those. It is one of those things too, where if it's not a 10, there's really no value.
No, yeah, none at all.
I mean, you're going to get like 20, 30 bucks unless it's like maybe one of the hollows or something like that.
The hollows, you're just not going to get a ton of.
Yeah, that one's the hardest thing to do. All right, so that's your new releases. Marvel football, no baseball this week. WNBA, though. I think mailbag. I think it's that time.
Just a couple. I got to get going. I'm sorry. I have diaper duty.
She can't change this diaper. I got to
hours. I got to help out. Yeah. Sorry, unlike you, I'm a deadbeat freaking dad.
You got here at 11:30, bro. No,
stay
1:18.
Sorry, I'm not comfortable letting my wife do all the work.
Oh, my God. Sir. All the work. Here we go. Cole Benz.
No, you're right. Your wife's terrible. Is that what you're saying? You're a bad person. Why would you say that? I can have an entire argument with against you.
I don't need to be there. I don't need to be there.
I told you to leave before, dude.
You did, and I should have taken you up on that offer. You know what? In fact, on that note, I will. Let's do this, Mike, if you are agreeable. Let's go ahead and call it here because I am feeling a little under the weather, and I've been in the back of my head. I just don't want to, get you or the family sick. So we're going to go ahead and call the episode.
Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. We'll be back Thursday, and we'll see you then. Goodbye.